Blog Talk Radio.
Now, folks, we've got some huge changes this week, huge going forward on the Barbecue Superstars Radio Network. Now, Jim Berg has moved over to the Barbecue Superstars Champions Radio Network, and his new call-in number, if you want to talk to Jim Berg, is 646-915-9540. I've got a link on Daryl Mayer's Facebook page right now. We can click that link, go over, get the radio front. So you can listen to Jim Berg, and he's got a bunch of massive guests on, with one of which is Jim Elser from the Florida Barbecue Association, who we love so well, took second place in the FBA, and also won big-time grand champion this past weekend at the Pig Out in Fort Pierce, Florida, and congratulations to him for that. Now, tomorrow night, we've got a really exciting change, and we're going to have a guaranteed Tuesday night weekly show every week with none only than the star, the main one, the barn goddess of the Florida Barbecue Association, and she happens to be on the radio with us now. What's going on, Lori Frazee?
Well, I'm very happy to be with you, and I'm excited about the new day and time, but quite, you know, what's funny is I'm so used to doing Wednesdays, I have to wrap my head around the fact that I need to make sure I'm home, you know, because we've kind of worked it, but I'm really excited about it. So I'm looking forward to the new show.
Man, me too. Now, Whiskey Bent will be on the Champions Network. We're going to give him the opportunity to do his show because he has won a lot of contests, and he's traveled the country, been out in Las Vegas, and competed all over around the country. And so when he does his show, it will be live on the Champions Network. But every single week at 7 p.m. Eastern, you can come right here on the Barbecue Superstars Radio Network. And Lori Frazee. Now, Lori, last year, you didn't even do it the whole year. You had 130 guests on your show. That's just amazing. And how did you go about getting so many guests?
Well, you know, it's kind of a funny thing because people want to do it, but sometimes they're very intimidated to do it. And I really, the funny thing is, I was only flat out turned down one time. And, you know, for the most part, we rescheduled everybody. There was one person with a scheduling conflict. I just, you know, the worst thing they can say is no. So I just keep asking. And I don't go away, so they eventually say yes.
Now, I know you had some really big moments on your radio show this past year. And, Lori, what were some of the biggest moments that you had?
You know, I was thinking about that for my wrap-up show because Chris Chadwick and I actually fell on the same time before. And on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day and Christmas Day, Chris and I both did shows. And so I was trying to think of what some of the best things were. And I don't know. I had people that I really loved having on and would like to catch up with again so that we can see how they're doing. I had new guys on. I loved having Craig Sherry on from Texas Pepper Jelly. I mean, I could have kept him on for the full 2 hours and, you know, we would just BSing. But, you know, Jim Elzer, who is a sponsor of mine, he's going to be on Jim Berg's show tonight, and he'll be on my show tomorrow night also. But, you know, he's kind of like one of my regulars. Besides being a sponsor, he's become a barbecue bud. So we talk regularly, and I love to have him come on. Especially, he seems to save me. You know, being live, there's technical difficulties once in a blue moon. And if something's happened, Jim's always like, he's there listening. So I'll go, hey, there's Jim Elzer. So he's been extremely helpful to me on some of those situations.
Okay, now we've got the whole lineup calling in tonight. We've got Chris Chadwick, John Reeves, and Lance Moore calling in after 7:30. And then the Ultimate Tailgater BBQ said he'd be calling in sometime between now and 7:30. So we will have our complete lineup calling in tonight. Now, folks, guaranteed radio every night but Saturday night, unless Barn Goddess and the FBA broadcast the results live. Now, you can do that, Barn Goddess, if you decide you want to.
And I may do that, but, you know, last week it would have interfered with my gigantic brisket trophy. So,
well, all you have to do is call in and put your phone on speaker and just set it by the speaker. Set it by whatever and just leave it there.
Hey, we
and
could do
you
that.
Can,
you know,
gather all
do...
your trophies, you know, get your grand champion banner. I mean,
Yeah, we don't have that yet. You know, that's one of my goals for the year because I'm still relatively new to the competition circuit, but that's one of my goals this year. And so I'm going to – this will be the third week in a row for me to do a contest, which is a little taxing because generally I am by myself, but I did have a new teammate this week, but she's not going to be with me next week, so I'm back to my old being by myself. But that's all – it's all good in the barbecue hood.
Well, now, a lot of big-time football and a lot of stuff happened over the past week. And for all you tailgaters out there, Ultimate will be here around 7:30. We'll get into all the sports talk in just a little bit. But, Lori, now we're sitting out in a new year. Actually, in the FBA, this year started out in September, and the scores from September on with the Fun Cook, they all count toward this next year, don't they?
Yeah, and I think making that change from the Fun Cook Labor Day weekend to Labor Day is going to be a huge difference because this past weekend in Fort Pierce, we did the Team of the Year party, and quite frankly, you know, being there and everybody's still doing their stuff for their getting ready for the cook, there wasn't a lot of people attend the dinner. And, you know, Matt Barber, congratulations to him, Hot Wachula. He won, and yeah, he got his banner, but it was, you know, I kind of felt bad because all the guys who wanted to be there just couldn't be. So I think the move is just really smart on the half of the FBA to do that, and I'm really looking forward to that. And then when we were talking just a second ago about doing live remotes, we're going to do another live remote. It'll be the third Friday in a row that we're going to do a live remote from the contest this week. I'll do it on Friday night. So I'm real excited about that, too.
Well, we're thinking about changing the Friday night show to, what is it, Barn Goddess Live? I don't know.
Yeah, when I'm at a contest, I'll make sure to do that.
Okay. And, you know, I want to congratulate you, Barn Goddess, on doing a lot more competitions now. Between now and September, you'll be able to get your 20 in. Are we talking about trying it out for the Team of the Year?
No, hell no. I would love to. You know, my goal was to actually do 12 contests, and I bought 12 little stuffed pigs that all look alike. And you know how if you get a touchdown, you put like a little tomahawk or gator on your helmet? Well, I have 12 little pigs to staple to my wall, and, you know, so I've already got two up, and I'll have another one up, and we're only in the third week of the year, so I'm all excited.
Well, we're going to throw out a little secret information right here. We understand that you use Jim Elser's beef injection. Now, most of you won't have access to this for another whatever weeks until it gets it actually commercially available. But
yep.
You used Jim Elser's beef injection and took a second place brisket.
Yep. And let me tell you, the smell is amazing, and I'm really excited. Jim let me and one of the other guys use it as a you know, just a practice with his product and see how everything came out. But Farter Starters, which I love the name of their team, they used it. I used it, and Jim used it. And really great smell. Looking forward to it hitting the market. A lot of us are using his pork injection, the juice. And, you know, not all juice is bad for you. So, you know, if people haven't tried that, you could use the code GODDESS and still get a 15% discount on Sweet Smoke Q's website, because he is one of my sponsors until Wednesday. And so if you use the code GODDESS, I know he'd love to sell you some juice if you haven't tried it for your pork. But and I also use Jim's sauce as my base, the Sweet Original as my base. So I'm super happy. Jim did provide me with a drum, which I call the juice can, and we are all fondly calling it the juice can. I just think he should really officially name it that. And my ribs have been coming out beautiful. So a lot of accolades and happiness that I'm able to work with Jim on all those things.
Now, the juice is the junk. I mean, everybody down here in Florida is using the juice for a lot of people. Well, everybody who's winning, especially in the pork category, are using the juice. And now, we found out some secret information this week that I want to expose to everyone involved. Butcher Barbecue came out with his injections first. We found out firsthand that Cosmo was released way long after Butcher's injections were released. And, you know, in the video and many times in public, I've said that it seems like Cosmo and Butcher have the same exact products. Well, that is very true. But Butcher came out with his first. So I don't know what you can infer from that, but I think I want to very emphatically let everyone know Butcher's came out with his first. So I've been trying to discover the facts of that, because when I did do my comparison, they were exactly the same. I don't care if someone uses three cups and the other uses two cups. They were the same cup. So I just want to put that out there so everybody can get that ordered in their mind correctly, because Butcher needs to get credit for being the man on that. And David Buska is a very, very brilliant man. And we do have a big video on our butcher shop and on our injection page of him talking about injections. And, folks, David Buska is the world authority on injections. So anything that he says or it comes out of his mouth, it has been copied before. So it's that good. So he's awesome, and we love you, David. And we want to make sure the world knows that you get credit for what you've done and all the expertise you put out there.
Can I tell you something about that?
Yes, ma'am.
David was on my show, and I really enjoyed talking to David because, a couple of reasons. He has a major in entomology, and I think you know that I'm a bug fanatic. I have a minor in entomology. So we took kind of a little strain thing talking about bugs for a minute. But it's cool to talk to David because he is a butcher. But I love his brisket injection. I use it all the time. And Jim knows this. I will be switching to Jim's as he is one of my sponsors. But the thing about Butcher's injection, that the only criticism I have for it, because I think it really does a wonderful job, the only criticism is I would never put it in my mouth before it's cooked in the brisket, whereas Jim's taste good. I just think David's has just a funky taste, but it does such an amazing thing with the meat. So never would take anything against away from him on that, because I think it's a wonderful product. You know, I'm just going to be loyal to Jim. As soon as that's available, I'm excited to put it in my repertoire on a regular basis.
Now, there is a video where I took the sweet smoke cube pork juice. He handed it to me. Me not knowing it was a concentrate, you know. I always drink all the sauces. So I tipped the bottle up, and I drank a big bottle of the injection. And Barn Goddess, it like to kill me. Oh, my God. My chest hurt. It's like I stumbled around for about 30 minutes trying to get myself together. And, folks, do not try this at home. And, oh, and something else that happened. Jan Charles used the juice. I'm uploading it now. She injected ribs. She injected Boston butt on Thursday of last week. And she's been exposed to the juice. And she pointed out something to me that I've been amiss on, and I'd like to let everybody know. It's 2-to-1. So you pour out one whole can of juice, and then you fill it up twice with grape juice or whatever you're using. And Barn Goddess, I've been doing 1-to-1.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, and ma'am, I got to say now, my pork came out good, but boy, that juice I was putting in there was strong.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet.
Have you ever tried that?
No, I don't. I use it 2-to-1. I use exactly the recommended on it.
Okay.
Yeah, so for competition, 1-to-1, I would be afraid that I would mush it, you know, because of the phosphate in it. So, yeah, but I'm sure the flavor was good because, like I said, it tastes good, not in a concentrated form. But I think if you remember, Daryl, when you were filming me at the Fun Cook and we were having way too much fun putting things together, uh-huh. I think we drank that juice with vodka in it as like a Bloody Mary or something. Didn't we do that?
Yeah,
there?
We did. Yeah.
Might have something
that
to do with my scores there. And then we were going to take Rub's new mix and turn it into a vodka mix, too, that we had in Perry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
And I drank a bottle. Well, actually, I did make it into a vodka drink. And now Rogue Bad Beast coming out with a big barbecue sauce, and whenever it hits the market, I'm going to rank it right away. And
yeah.
I'll tell you, whenever Rub does anything, it gets kind of scary, because we were down in Edgewater, and what did he do now? He did 3 first place, and he got like 3rd place in the one he didn't get first place in. He almost swept the whole competition.
Yeah.
When Rub Bagby's on, man, he's a scary competitor, isn't he?
Yes, he is. But he's got a class coming up. I mean, I'll throw that out there. I've been helping him the last few classes and have had a ball being his dish bitch. But this year in his class in March, I actually have a 4-day horse event that I cater. So I won't be able to offer my services, but it would be a great gift for somebody to give a friend or the competitor in their life that wants to improve their scores.
Now, we'd just like to make a big shout-out to Dana L. Hillis. You can't really talk about the FBA without talking about Dana.
Absolutely.
And he started off last week with a reserve grand. And how did he score in Fort Pierce? I haven't heard.
You know, I don't remember what his totals were, but, you know, Dana always has a good cook, and he was the keeper of the keg the night before because Budweiser.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they actually dropped a keg at his campsite, and I said, what's that about? Because, you know, this week it was all about the moonshine jello shots, my new weapon to bring for everybody. And Dana had a keg at his place, so, you know, you can't compete with that. He always does a great job, and he actually has a cook school coming up, too.
Yeah, now, if you go to www.BigPapa'sCountryKitchen, make sure you sign up for that school, because he doesn't play. He's going to tell you everything he's doing currently, And he's going to teach you how to barbecue. And one thing about Dana, just like Rub, you know, if you're having trouble because you're doing this or that, you can go to him and say, look, would you watch what I am doing to see where I'm going wrong?
Yep.
And he'll evaluate you and point you in the right direction. And I tell you what, you know, there are good people in barbecue that are good to talk to, but Dana's a good person to be friends with. And I tell you, there's no better person in barbecue than Dana L. Hillis. There would not be a Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction, and I would not have been able to shoot the first season. Now, we have the finale up on the Barbecue Superstars Big Papa's Battle page. Go to it and watch. Boy, what a shootout. Came down to the wire. We actually didn't know who won at all. And I got to give the Dutchman credit because he put cinnamon on it. He put all kinds of stuff on it and got crazy with it. And he edged out the dessert score by 1 point. So congratulations to Two White Boys Smoking. Congratulations to Lang Barbecue Smokers, Brad Kay and Corey Sherman for making it into the final. And they had to go the whole distance. I don't know how many wins they had to have to get there. I think it was four wins. It was five or six wins because, you know, each contest you got to have two wins to make it out of that contest. So we're hoping for a good Big Papa's Battle next year. And now, Lori, have you ever been to the Zephyr Hills contest?
No, and actually it was sold out. So I was on a waiting list, and within a couple hours there was somebody had to back out due to an emergency in the family. So they called and said, we'll see you on Friday. So I was all excited. What started it was Jim Elzer. I finally got through to Jim that, you know, I keep joking with him about we ought to cook together. And so he saw my my chicken box, and it was beautiful. And after he saw it, he said, well, what are you doing next week? You'd come down and cook with me. And I'm like, finally. So I was telling my honey that, you know, I could go down and cook with Jim because we always have a great time. And I learn so much anytime I'm with anybody. And Leon goes, well, if you're going to go, you need to go and just cook. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't have to tell me twice. I made the phone call right away. Yeah, so I'm very happy to be going and competing.
So we actually have a third caller right now, and 864-529, who is this? Oh, well, she must have called in just to listen, not to talk. And now, Lori, man, 2014 just looks like a wide open road. I'm so excited about everything that's going on and the way things are going to be over the next year. And, you know, when you wind up next December and you're doing your final shows of the year, what do you hope to happen in this next year?
Well, I actually did do that because I just recently did an application for one of the CHOP specials. And they said, what are your three goals in barbecue in cooking this year? And, you know, barbecue is my cooking. So my first one was to hopefully win my first grand champion, to quadruple my listening base, because I really think that it's important to reach out to a large group in regards to barbecue superstars and our listening audience. So I'm kind of hoping to do that. And of course I really want a cookbook deal. So, you know, that's, that's what I'm working on.
Wow, man. Pretty heady schedule there. Heck yeah. Hope you get your cookbook deal. And, I mean, planning on doing any major network television or anything like that? I mean,
you know, I applied for a couple of things. You know, Matt Barber and I did MasterChef audition, and that was way different than doing the things on the internet with taping and stuff. I would love to be doing more interviews. I really have such a great time with the people at FBA, or, you know, I kind of would like to do another sanctioning body contest, but, you know, when you generally cook alone, it's a little tough. But, you know, if I get a constant team member, it might give me that opportunity. But I really love those live remotes. It's so much fun. Guys are always great. They're willing to come into either my site or let me come into their inner sanctum, which is always really cool to see what everybody has going on. So I really love doing that. And my goal for the live remotes was to do a minimum of 15. So that means I probably won't be cooking all of those, and I may just run down and or you know, drive up to Georgia or something and do a live remote, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Man, I know it will. And Barbecue Superstars just extends a huge thank you, because live remotes out there at the contest are just a way for a lot of people who can't make the contest that week or can't make the contest but once a few times a year.
Yeah.
It's a way for you to be out there, realize what's going on, kind of have the Friday night moments. Now, today we were talking about, and I'll put this out on the radio, we're going to try to get some sponsors together and offer a couple of $1,000 prize for a contest on Barbecue Superstars. And what the contest is going to consist of is doing a Friday night at the competition video, the funniest Friday night at the competition video that's ever been done. Now, as you submit these Friday night funny videos, we're going to put them up on a Barbecue Superstars page, and we're going to allow you to vote. And you'll be able to vote on what you think the funniest video is for the duration of the contest. And, of course, whoever has the most vote at the end will receive our grand prize, hopefully. Now, we're not above giving away a cooker. So if you're a competition cooker company out there like Fast Eddie PG500, did I say that? Or, Green Egg Grills or, I don't know, Stump Smokers, if you want to give away a smoker. We'd love to have a smoker, but we also want cash prizes. And if you've got, like a smaller gadget or some other type of apparatus that, giving one away won't be as big a deal as giving a whole cooker away, well, then give us $500 or $1,000 toward the grand prize, and we'll promote your company on that page and promote. And now, Lori, don't you think that these barbecuers on Friday night are going to come up with some crazy stuff?
This could actually be dangerous. Because, we crack ourselves up, so I can't even imagine what somebody could come up with. This could be a lot of fun. I didn't know you were thinking about this. This could be really fun.
Now, nudity, and getting too explicit will disqualify you from the contest. But, we want you to make it as funny as you can. I know there's a lot of people out there. And, we just like to point to Troy Frazan, just for a moment. Now, Troy, I know there was a certain apron that somebody wore to the awards, and it was really frowned on, and sanctions were imposed, and somebody got on probation, and I think somebody's on parole.
Not just probation.
So don't throw out your wanky into the camera. Kind of cool with that. But
wanky. Oh my gosh. We don't want any of that. Please keep that to yourself.
I mean, there's a lot of other things you can do without doing that. But we're just getting this started. We hope to have it out in the next week, and Angela Iverson is going to be helping with that contest, and she's the one that came up with the idea. And we're going to keep contests going. We're going to have a contest on Barbecue Superstars all the time. We want one in the fall, one in the spring, one in the summer, and hopefully we'll be able to come up with cash prizes and awards for everybody who participates in those contests. And Lori, now I know you got the Barn Goddess van and you got the Barn Goddess trailer, and I was noticing that they were both slam-packed full. And I just had to ask you, you know, what all do you put in that trailer and van to fill it up completely?
Well, actually, you know, the van I use for small catering gigs too, but right now the van is actually slam-packed full with pellets and force lumps. And I was talking to Jim about the fact I don't know how teams go, or especially if it's a single-person team like, you know, Jim, Matt Barber, Rub, myself. It's very difficult to go, this is going to be the most in a row that I've done. Usually I was really happy to do one a month. And so 3 weeks in a row, it's like I don't have time to do anything. You know, working on my show and then working, we manage several houses, and really Leon's taken that over. But the trailer's down to a science now. But yeah, the van's just full of stuff. It's full of pellets and force lumps right now. But I want to tell you that your lump charcoal you gave me, I love that. And I put it up on the on my one Facebook page because it was very clean. And I actually got some really large pieces in there. And a lot of times some of that lump charcoal gets so beat up in transportation, so I was real happy with that. I meant to tell you if I haven't told you that. So people may want to check that out.
Lori's going to become a dealer for us in Florida for that forest lump, so I'll be bringing her a whole bunch down when I come next time. But the ultimate tailgater himself, Chris Fulmer, has just called in. So we're going to be handing the show over to him. And also, I believe John Reeves or Lance Moore is on the line, Chris, so you'll know. And what's going on, Chris?
What's up, Big Dan? How you doing, buddy? Sorry, I'm on the mobile here driving down the road. Just got done with an appointment. And, strange enough, even though I sell insurance, we ended up talking about barbecue then. Go figure it out. Doing good, man, doing good. Everybody's doing well out there as well.
I tell you, it's been a big show so far. We've had a lot of callers, and we was just wanting to check out. What did you think about the national championship game and about Alabama losing?
Well, I tell you, Darryl, you know, we talked last week about the game. Actually, I think the show was the night of the game last week, and I think it pretty much went kind of how we discussed. I think it was pretty close on the – I think you called like 45-42 or – I called 45-42. I think I was picking Auburn, just being an SEC fan, and I think you had picked Florida State by like four, so we were both pretty close to that. But you know, it really went pretty much how we thought. Darryl, it was a great game for starters. I mean, there was certainly no loser when both teams play like that. But you know, Florida State really flexed their muscles at the end and had a great drive. And you know, the score right there in the game made it, you know, very fitting for a national championship game to end and be played like that. You know, quite honestly, you know, you kind of thought early on that Auburn was going to be really going to flex the muscles and really take control and possibly win that thing when they got up 21-3. But you know, Florida State kind of woke up, and they got great athletes on the team, and they got things going. But you know, Auburn really hung in there, and you know, they scored there kind of late in the fourth quarter. You thought that magic still was going to be there for those guys, but it just wasn't. You know, wasn't quite enough. I listened to some different talk shows around. It's interesting when they scored to go ahead there with a couple minutes to go. You know, strangely enough, you know, if the running back Trey, if the Florida State guy had not missed the tackle and made the tackle, you know what? We may be having a different conversation, Mike. So it's weird how things happen where Florida State guy missing a tackle there. I think that run he made was like, I don't know, 25 yards, 28 yards or something. And about the 15-yard line, the Florida State guy missed the tackle. If he tackles the running back, they probably maybe go a couple more plays, or who knows what happens. Maybe they kick a field goal, maybe they score, maybe they fumble. But I really believe that guy makes a tackle. You know, Auburn probably wins that game. So sometimes it's the little things that happen. You don't think about how it affects the game. But to me, that had a big impact right there. And I think the biggest play of the game was the fake punt. It was you know, was called at the right time, you know, really part of the state, needed some momentum. And, you know, they caught Auburn napping a little bit. So, you know, obviously that's somewhat of a trick play. They needed that and got them going. It really got them back in the game. Without that, I think Auburn probably would have, you know, probably would have won. So, nonetheless, you know, the Seminoles, you know, they erased the stopped the SEC streak, and you know, at seven, so they're the national champions. So now somebody's going to have to knock them off this pedestal next year, which is probably going to be a, you know, they're going to have a big team next year, and of course Winston will be back, and as well as a lot of other talented guys, and of course, you know, Auburn themselves got a lot of guys returning, and they're going to be strong as well. So, you know, I look to see both of those teams, you know, up there in the top 10 next year as well. So it was just a great way to end the college football season, and Florida State certainly was worthy of the national championship. And now, man, we concentrate on recruiting, and everybody's going out there trying to get their get their teams better by recruiting better players. So, man, it's off to recruiting and spring football. And before you know it, we'll be talking about fall practice here in about 6 months, though.
Man, it goes fast. Now, Ultimate tonight is the first night of our big transition from, you know, Jim Berg and Whiskey Bent going to the other network. And then our network, where everybody does a show every week, a big, strong network. And I know we got Lance, and I think we got John Reeves on. And Lance, what do you think about the new lineup, buddy? Who we got here?
This is me. It's John, buddy.
Oh, John. John, what you think about the new lineup, buddy?
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear, you know, what they've got to say. And you know, a big welcome to them to the Barbecue Superstars Network. And, you know, we kind of all help each other out here, you know, with, you know, a show Monday through Friday and every week. You know, it's just a great thing to be a part of.
407-697. Who we got there?
Angela Iverson.
Oh, Angela. Okay, I didn't know you was on. All right. Well, okay, Ultimate. I just wanted to give John and Ultimate, how you feel about being on the keynote Monday night of the Barbecue Superstars Radio Network?
Man, we're looking forward to it, Darrell. We're looking forward to kind of transitioning out of the college football and tailgate, even though we'll talk. You know me, I'll talk about it any time. I love it, enjoy it, and live it. But we'll start transitioning into the barbecue stuff and try to get more of these Cyclone of the SCBA, Cyclone Barbecue Association, and Southern Barbecue Network. We'll get some of these folks calling in and start talking with some of these contests. I think the first SCBA competition is second or third week of February. So we'll start getting with these contest organizers, get them all, talk about their event, and hopefully help them build their events, and you know, have more people out there. And that's what the whole idea is, obviously, with all these shows, not necessarily Monday night, but all through the week, is to get everybody involved and help spread a good word of barbecue. And you know, we always like to talk with folks about this. So I'm excited to be a part of it as well, Darrell.
John, now, I got you to call in tonight, and what do you think it'll mean? I know you suffered through some months where we didn't have a show every single night, and, I mean, now that, you know, we'll get a consistent lineup every single week, how do you feel it's going to affect the Barbecue Superstars Radio Network?
I think, Darrell, it's going to make a tremendous impact. You know, just like in barbecue and bed of cooking, consistency is key. In everything you do, you want to be consistent, and the attention to detail. And I think that's what, you know, we're needing. And we needed, you know, if, you know, Monday through Friday, if that's what we're talking about, then that's what we need to have. You know, it's only been, I want to say, a handful of shows that we personally have not done on our Thursday night. But it was because, you know, July 4th this year fell on a Thursday night. You know, Thanksgiving is, you know, obviously on a Thursday. So, you know, there was I think there's three shows that we haven't done since, was it March or April when we got started? But other than that, here every single week and pumping it out and talking. There's been times where we've had stuff going on and we were wondering if it was going to be a heavy week or not. We've done a little bit of a short show. But, you know, starting that thing at 6 o'clock and running as long as you can, you know, it seems like the first hour sometimes is a little bit slow. That's when we typically have our featured guests, and that's when we were doing our college updates with Chad. But, you know, college is football is over now, so, you know, we're going to transition some stuff. You know, we're going to start a series this week on shortline companies, you know, companies that help you out. Maybe don't build a pit, aren't the main core, but, you know, you have these other companies that help you out with maybe your signs or your caps or, you know, a power injector or this, that, and another. You know, the little stuff that helps you make your team who they are. So we're going to start doing some featured guests on that. And then also, you know, having the promoters. You know, we had a promoter call in on our show last Thursday night, and her cook isn't until August. But you know what? Everybody's working on their calendars. So, and we have worked on our calendars in the last week of what contests we're going to try to hit. So, you know, the mood has swung. I mean, we did some college tailgate, you know, barbecue, end of season kind of stuff. But we are hardcore back into the season. Everybody's prepping. We actually do our first cook at Smoking Eggs in 2 weeks. So the consistency, I think, is going to be there. And then no matter what's going on, you're going to have a show every night. So I think that's just it's going to help out the entire network. And then the season starting, it's just one of those things that we just are all excited to get back in the swing, I guess, so to speak.
Well, I wanted you to call in and kind of welcome in the network. And
yeah.
We lost Chris for just a minute. But, John, I just, for Barbecue Superstars and for me, you know, I just want to thank you so much for your consistency, your commitment, and, you know, the way that you've handled Barbecue Superstars on Thursday night, and then your ability to get guests, your Texas Tech connection. And then I know that on top of that, you've got some other time stuff going on down there that will – air itself out here in a few months, and you know, you're a huge credit to Barbecue Superstars, and we're just so glad that you're on the network. And we've got Chris back now. I just wanted to give you a minute to talk about, you know, how you feel the impact of the switching around we've done, and now I want to turn it back to Chris Fulmer, the Ultimate Tailgater BBQ, and Chris, go ahead, buddy. Now I won't step in on you again.
No, you're good, man. Sorry about that. I'm still about 20 minutes from home, so I'm on the back roads here. So sorry about that. We lost the signal there, but I think I'm good now until I get home. So.
Well, we've got Angela Ireland and Barn Goddess on here too. So just want to let you know you got a bunch of callers.
What's been the big topic tonight? What's been the discussion tonight, Daryl? Got to get me up to speed.
Well, we've just been talking about all the changes in the radio network, and I kind of, since Chris Chadwick and Lance are going to call in a little later, and since it's the first night, the inaugural night of our new lineup, I wanted to give you a chance to kind of talk, and all you radio hosts get together and have a good time, and because everyone is going to be supporting the other, and it's going to be a seven-night-a-week Hell Yeah Fest from now on. And so to pat you on the back for also making the change, Chris, and you've always done your show. You've always stood behind your show, and I just want to thank you also for being a consistent support. And I tell you what else is I've enjoyed being on the show with you. I've learned a lot about tailgating and just want, I don't know, just everybody get together and have a good time tonight.
Well, I appreciate that. I tell you, we've had a lot of fun, man. I love talking, I love talking barbecue, but as you know, we really got started in the college football, the tailgating years and years ago, so that's what really got me into the barbecue. So that's my first love of the tailgating and following the Gamecocks and all. For that matter, it doesn't have to be, even though I love the Gamecocks, but any college sports, especially college football, it's fun talking about it, and college football is you know, it's a big thing. And we've seen a lot of things in the last, say, 20 years that have really taken off. And, you know, obviously NASCAR has been one of them where it's just gone crazy. And, you know, and then obviously college football has getting to be such a big thing. And, you know, first we had, you know, bowls for so long, and then came the BCS. And of course, now we're kind of gravitating up and adding a couple more games. And now we'll have the 14 playoff next year. We'll have the, you know, it's a little bit different way to determine the national champions, or it's getting bigger and you got more TV. And, you know, then with all that, you know, the tailgating is just, it's really taking off. And you can, you know, tailgating and barbecuing are kind of tied in together somewhat. You know, but there's so many products, and it's amazing all the money and things that is spent now with tailgating. And it's continuing to grow, and they got magazines devoted to it, you know, even shows devoted to it. And obviously, you know, we're talking more so about barbecue, but all the things happening at a barbecue, and you look 20 years ago, what was that? And now, you know, all the contests, equipment, I mean, man, think about all the rubs and sauces and stuff you see now. It's, you know, it's just incredible to me, all the different things out there, and all the promotions and marketing that's happening. So, you know, we're really, the barbecue's just, I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg of it. So it's great having a big lineup with all these different folks, and getting everybody's different viewpoints. So, you know, from their involvement in barbecuing and how it affects their lives, and then, you know, maybe the contests and so forth that they cook at, and the different events. And so we get a good mixture of all these things. And everybody's, you know, kind of in different areas of the country. I don't know about some of these guys, because I know Lance is over there in Texas. And, of course, we've got Chadwick up there in Tennessee. And, of course, I'm over here and yourself as well in South Carolina. You know, and I guess Jantrall, another one, Tennessee. So we've got a lot of good representation for different areas. So it gives people an opportunity to fit in these shows and get different thoughts and viewpoints and so forth. And, you know, I think that's always good to, you know, get different views and so forth. Stuff can get stale and all hearing the same thing. But, man, you got all these different shows and different people and personalities. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun to be involved with all this, Darryl.
Well, I believe Lance Moore called in now, so now it's going to get crazy. What's going on, Lance?
What are you doing, boys? Crazy? What do you mean it's going to get crazy? Man, I hope my starting to worry me there. I may have started something.
You've been drinking that Coors Light flavored water, have you?
Well, of course. That's like, you know, well, that's just part of it. So you gotta have a little bit of flavored water.
Gotta do it.
Hey, Chris, how are you, man?
Man, I'm doing good, Lance. How you doing, buddy? It's good to hear your voice, man.
Hey, man. Well, I'll call in. Welcome you to Monday nights. And, you'll make it a, you know, give us a little competition, a little run for our money now. I start working a little harder. Yeah, I am.
Now you're gonna be Monday nights as well now, or are you still Sunday night, or?
No, I'm still Sunday nights. And
are you still Sunday? Okay.
Yeah. So no. Yeah. I am the heathen, so I'll stay on Sunday nights.
Now when does you know, for your sanctioned body out there, Lance, when does the competition start to get cranked up?
It's actually already cranked up in the southern part of the state.
Okay.
They've already had, matter of fact, this last weekend they had one in Robstown, which is, down in kind of South Texas, down by Corpus Christi. And
okay.
They had 83 teams. That was the first contest of the year for IBCA. And they kind of blew it out of the water. There's a couple this weekend, I believe, going on. And then the weekend after that will be at Western Woods, which is part of the series. They're running three series competitions. They started the first one in November. And it was green. And what they're doing is they're opening up to the first 150 teams per contest, and they're selling them out. And so the payout is the second one's going to be at Helotes. It will be over, what I'm hearing is over $35,000 payout.
The payout is $37,250 or something like that.
So that's it. I mean, it's blowing up, and so 150 teams. It's going to be big. It's going to be loud. It's going to be wild. And, you know, when you go down to South Texas and cook, it's a whole different world down in that part of the world. Flavor profiles, everything, it just all changes. And, you know, unless you get someone to let you in on the secrets down there, which most of them are pretty tight-lipped about it, it's a pretty tough cook down in that part of the world, especially for us West Texas boys.
They don't like it when we come down there, and they don't want to tell us nothing.
Nope. They do not. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, I've had a couple of times down there. Do what?
Is it a little bit warmer, I guess, in that area where they can get started a little earlier, Lance? Or what's the temperature like?
Yeah, it is a little warmer. You know, it's probably in the 70s and stuff down there. I mean, they still have some cold weather and stuff. They were freezing temperatures and stuff last week when we had all that. But, I mean, for the most part, I would imagine it nicer in the 30s and, you know, during the day, you know, 60s, maybe low 70s down in that part of the world. So, yeah, they cook a little more down there. Up here where we're at, the first contest that I know of in our part of the world, and it's still probably about 200 miles south of us, will probably be March the first weekend of March. And that'll kind of kick off in this area here. And so, you know, we've waited a little bit longer. And, of course, we've had snow all the way into April. Up in our part of the world, you don't count the snow out until after Easter, generally. That's when you can you kind of see that. And the other very telltale sign in our part of the world is mesquite. When the mesquite come out and the leaves come out on a mesquite tree, then you can usually figure you've had your last freeze. And that works pretty well. That's been one of them old farmer almanac type deals, but it's always held pretty true. I don't know. What do you think, John? I think it's pretty true to me.
I think you're right. I just looked it up. It's March 1st. That's the weekend of San Angelo. And then we don't have another one until nearly April in Lubbock. And then, you know, the April, May, you know, that's when we kind of kick off here in that Lubbock area. And that's when Lance and I just pretty much go head-to-head every weekend. But you know, in 2 weeks, you know, we're both down south, and that is a tight lift. And I'm going to tell you what, I did the Trophy Hunters Cook last year in San Antonio and completely got shut out. And that was one of the only – that was one of two cooks that we got completely shut out on. You know, and I just, man, that was tough, and it's hard to swallow. But you're right, that South Texas profile is a little different. They don't say a whole lot about it. I'd love to knock a home run down there, and I know Lance would too, especially get part of 37,000, bring it up, you know, a little bit further north. But it is tough. It's 150 cooks, and believe it or not, they sold out. When was that, Lance? December? 1st of December?
Yeah.
Cook was
somewhere
sold out
in there. Yeah.
And the only way I got in it is two teams dropped. And I just burned up the phone. I was on the waiting list and was, you know, got in. But I'm just telling you, it's a tough deal. Of course, you know, a lot of these cooks, you know, they advertise 5, 10, maybe a little bit more, you know, guaranteed payout. So when you guarantee, they guarantee 30, and then now it's up to 37 or something like that. So when you start,
34,000 they were guaranteeing. They said
right.
It's a new state record.
That's crazy. That's just crazy money. And I'm gonna tell you, 100. From what I've looked at the list, we got the list this week, and I know Lance was looking and studying it too. Because I'm telling you, if you get a walk or a final table at this one, you know, it's IBCA rules.
you've done something. Because when they say it's 150 of the top cooks, there's guys driving a long, long way to go to this cook. So it's going to be tough. There's no doubt about it.
Wow. Yes, it is.
So, now IBCA, that you guys, you do, you'd obviously do brisket, and you do ribs,
and half you do chicken.
Half chicken.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, half chicken.
Pork spare rib. You can do a St. Louis cut if you want, but it has to be a spare rib.
Right.
And then, you know, like this contest here, we'll do two half chickens. We'll do 9 spare ribs and 9 slices of brisket. And that brisket's going to have to be between 1/4 inch and 3/8 of an inch thickness. If you're under or over, you're getting sent back.
Yeah, I remember I talked to you about that before, about how specific they are, of course, you know, for us. I cook some KCBS and then some of the SB and SBA, they have the brisket, and there's I don't, to my knowledge, I don't think there's any requirements on your whip.
No, there's not. I mean, you know, you just do what you want. I mean, and you know, the thing about that is, and here's what they're trying to control in this, is that, okay, you know, you take KBTS for instance. Let's say that you have a brisket that didn't break down quite like you wanted it to. Well, you can slice that thing real thin. And, I mean, of course, some of the judges are going to know it when you start doing that, but you can slice it thinner, and you can, you know, gain a little bit on your tenderness. Or
right.
If you overcook it, then you're going to slice it a little thicker, and it's going to hold it together a little bit. So that's what they're doing there, is that if you go too far or you don't go far enough, you're pretty well stuck in that deal there. I mean, they're going to know that, and here, the other thing about that is they're going to use a knife and a fork on your brisket. So... they're going to know real quick that that brisket ain't where it needs to be.
Well, the
wow.
Thing too, and then here's the biggest thing, is when you turn that in and they open your tray and they check you out, they will count, you know, 7 or 9 slices, whatever required for that cook. And 9 times out of 10, and I've seen it, and Lance, you have too, you know, with Shondell and some of the other judges, they're sitting there with a pencil. And typically that's the width they're looking for, you know.
Some of them have pencils. Some of them actually even have little custom dowels made. They have a 1/4 inch
right,
and a 3/8 dowel made, and they'll take that dowel and they'll just, it's on a key ring, and they'll drop it right on top of that slice, and it'll tell real quick whether you're in or you're out.
Yes.
Now,
so
the most guys.
Slice.
Yeah.
The most guys cook, do you guys cook, is there any Wagyu, or is it just Angus, or what's the?
There are some guys that are cooking Wagyu. There's lots that do cook Angus, and then there's a lot of us that are just cooking, you know, a good cut of beef. But I mean, there are guys that are cooking Wagyu. Not a lot. I know a few. There's one out in our part of the area. He'll run Snake River Wagyu, and I'll say this: I've had it. And it's unbelievable. I mean, the difference in the texture is what I noticed more than anything. I didn't notice so much about the flavor
or even,
you know, tenderness per se, but just the texture of that meat was way different. And it was just like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it really had that butteriness to it that, you know, that you're looking for like in a steak and stuff.
I was gonna tell you, if it's cooked right, yeah, and you slice through that thing, it's like cutting through butter and like chewing butter. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, until you ever put one of those in your mouth, it was cooked like it should have been. I mean, you know, and I'd always been pretty skeptical about it, but me and the president for the Panhandle chapter part of IBC, we were standing there and we both had a bite of it, and we instantly looked at each other like, damn. And, you know, I think I had a third place brisket that day, and he had a second place brisket with that Wagyu. And, you know, so, I mean, we do okay with it, but it's like, I mean, it was just a night and day difference. And, I mean, you know, he said he had the same comment I did. He's like,
he said, "Damn, that was an unbelievable brisket there," and it really was. And I mean, he was running a vertical cooker. I think they're running Assassins with water pans. So, you know, just a lot different than what, you know, us West Texas boys normally use out here. I mean, most of your guys around here, you've got some bulk cookers and stuff like that, but a lot of them are running offsets. Offsets
right.
Are pellet smokers. So, you know, there's a few more vaults and stuff like that, the backwoods and stuff like that, starting to show up in some of the Assassins and stuff like that. But predominantly, I would say that in most of our contests, you'll see more offsets than you will anything else. Wouldn't you say that, John?
I certainly would. We've got an Assassin dealer sitting right here in Lubbock. And he's pushing them hard, and, you know, he's having some success with that. But, you know, I would say the better half of, well, 50-60% of the cookers that are sitting out there are offset, you know, and there's, you know, a few of those are, you know, they got some Jambos running around and some stuff like that. And there's some crazy-looking pits. And, you know, and we laugh, but, you know, there's an old boy that kind of started up this year, and you'll know who I'm talking about, Lance. And, you know, he's still pulling out a couple trash cans, and he's had him a few walks this year. So, you know, don't rule that out, too.
Yeah. Well, he moved an offset, too. You know, that last cookoff, he had a full-blown offset sitting there. You know, and, well, it's funny you say that. I ran into, I seen Ray Saturday. Ray Bonner was out there, chef, and Kirk Pittman walked in. And Kirk said he's taking the year off. He's not going to cook. As a matter of fact, he sold a Jambo, and all he's got is an Assassin now. But he said that he's not going to cook much this year. So.
What?
Yep. I'm telling you. I mean, there was witnesses there.
I mean,
so we'll see how that happens.
He just bought one of the biggest boxes I ever seen in my life.
You what?
He just bought one of the – well, I guess it's an Assassin, but, I mean, he just bought one of the biggest freaking refrigerator-looking cookies I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was an Assassin he bought, and but he said he's going to pretty much take the year off this year. So, and the guy said, you don't know who he's talking about, that's Kirk Pittman. He was actually the cooker of the year for the Panhandle Pit, part of IBCA in our area. And, no. He caused me my demise this year. So, but
wow.
You know, we did have—I'll tell you all this. We had an email come out Friday night, and I don't know how this happened, but unknown barbecue out of Florida, FDA, won the Team of the Year for in Tier 1 in Oak Ridge Barbecue. And then we got lucky, and West Texas Pitmasters was a Team of the Year in Tier 2 and then got promoted to Tier 1. So we had a little bit of good news on Friday night, and so I'm looking forward to that. But, he had some really good teams. He had the IAB 30. He had, like, three or four of the top FBA teams that he's sponsoring. And then several of the KCBS, I mean, Clark's crew out of, like they're out of Kansas. They were the reserve grand champion at the American Royal Open this year. And he came in second right behind me as far as points. And I was really shocked about that because they're a stout team. So I think there's 36 of us. So we'll see how it plays out this year. But that was kind of a neat thing that we had happen.
Good. Congratulations, man. That's great.
So where's Daryl at? He's off the pot back there.
No, he's still with
Hey,
there.
Man, I was listening to y'all talk about all them Texas barbecue competitions, and we got Lance Moore on here tonight with John Reeves. And what you doing over there, Ultimate?
Man, I'm just listening to this Texas guy, man, trying to figure out some brisket tips.
You better talk to John about that.
About what?
About brisket. I was kind of in a lull this year a little bit, so we did all right, but we just weren't hitting the home runs that we hit last year, so we'll see what happens this year. I'm ready to gear up.
Now, Lance, did I get from you earlier that you wasn't approving of that Wagyu, that you'd rather have whatever else you're using?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. I mean, I really like the Wagyu. I mean, the thing about it is that now, I mean, what I'm saying is that we've done just as well not using Wagyu because our sponsor, he don't carry Wagyu. And I'm not saying that he wouldn't jump out there and get some of it, but, I mean, we cook against guys that are cooking Wagyu, and I'll tell you this, Raider Red Meats, you know, we do pretty well against them using our Angus and stuff like that from them. And but like I said, it was an eye-opener. When I tasted that brisket, that's the first time I'd ever tasted a Wagyu brisket like that, and it was, like I said, the texture to it, more than anything, it wasn't so much flavor, it wasn't so much tenderness as it was the texture in your mouth was the difference in that Wagyu to me. And I think that, you know, I don't know that I can duplicate that exact texture, but saying that in that same contest, even going there, I mean, you know, he was second, I was third, you know, in brisket. So, I mean, you know, we kind of held our own. And, you know, we weren't using $180 briskets for what that's worth.
Well, now, we got Wagyu on the Barbecue Superstars meat shop. And Chris, what did you think? Now, you bought one of them. How did that come out for you?
Well, it came out good, Dale. Yeah, we took one to Vegas for us at the World Barbecue. And, it was good. I think there was about... there's at least four or five teams out there, I believe, that got stuff from Johnny as well. In fact, you know, Barbecue Guru team that cooked, you know, probably 40 yards from me, they ended up, they took some of, I guess, with Berkshire ribs, and, you know, they won the rib contest. So, I don't know. I mean, I think probably, to me, the brisket probably is the biggest difference, you know, on the ribs. I don't know. I mean, you know, I took the ribs, same brand I've been cooking with for the last year, and you know, we were fourth in ribs out there. So, you know, I don't know if I can really tell as much of ribs. I do think the KCBS judges are getting used to that Wagyu, so it appears that you know, it certainly can help you out there. I don't know on the other stuff. We didn't cook as many KCBS last year. So I don't have as much feel in KCBS, but just the people I talked to and all, and the few contests we did, it just seems like you've got to have that Wagyu if you're going to be a top 10 team. If you're going to have something other than Wagyu, then it has to be, you know, not perfect for you to to score high. So I just think you've got to have that at a KCBS, or you know, you're going to be. You know, if it's 50 teams, you're not even gonna hit top 20 probably. I bet so.
Yeah.
There's just probably a few that can hit it with that.
Well, and that's the deal. I mean, because yeah, it's what you said there. I mean, it's like at the Royal. I mean, I know a lot of guys that were cooking Wagyu's there, and I mean, some of them hit, and you know, and then there was good teams there like Sugar's Barbecue, Lene. She was cooking Wagyu. I seen them. She took about four of them up there, and, you know, she didn't have as much luck with them. And, you know, and I believe they were all like a Snake River or something like that. And, I mean, they were all good pieces of meat. And, you know, that's where it also gets to is, you know, it depends on what tables you get into on that end as far as teeth, you know, KBCS on that stuff end of it. And, you know, I've seen a table that had a perfect 180 at the American Royal Open. And all six teams that were on that table were in the top 23 teams in the Open. And the low score on that table, and I mean, I'm talking about there was all kinds of different teams there. all those teams, the low score was a 175 for that whole tape.
Good Lord. That's crazy.
So,
right there.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, you had a complete, you know, that, like I said, that's one thing I like about the new deal where you can see what the judges are doing, you know,
yeah.
on the table.
No doubt.
So like what table they're on. Because all of a sudden, you can start breaking down that whole table. And you can start figuring something out. And, I mean, when you got a table out of six teams that throws a perfect 180 in the open out of 560 teams, and I think it was actually Clark Crew that actually threw the 180, and then the low one on the totem pole was like a 175 out of a 180. And like I said, I think it was the top 23 teams come off that table right there. And, you know, that's pretty amazing. You start seeing patterns there. There was some Wagyus on that table. I mean, I know at least one Wagyu that was on that table. There may have been more. I don't know. One of the guys that's here local that lives here in Plainview, he was on that table, and he got a 13th place there. And he was cooking a Wagyu. So he paid $185 for that brisket.
It should do dishes at $185, though.
$185 for that brisket.
Sorry, man, I can't pay that much for one.
And then he turned around and burned the dog out of it on a Weber.
Yeah, that's it about that. I mean,
you laugh about
like,
it.
He like charboils them.
He sears the dog out of them. But he hits and brisket, I mean, every time.
Because we've all eaten it, and we've all wondered, but, I mean, just what he said, he hits. He hits and hits and hits with it, and it's like, wow, I'm amazed. I mean, it's not a terrible brisket, but, I mean, it's just so much different than what we expect where we cook himself. And that may be it. It may be that it's just different enough from what all the rest of us are doing. That's what pulls it in. I don't know. Because we've all talked about it. We've all eaten it. It's not a bad brisket, but it's not what we would call what we like in brisket. I think what we'd say when you don't.
Well, that's the thing, is it's like night and day for mine. I mean, I'm a low and slow. I mean, Lance, correct me. I mean, I'm not bullshitting any right here. I'm telling it like it is. Lance is now parked next to each other, and you know, we don't know 100% of what each other's doing on a brisket, but I have a really good idea of what he's done, and he has a really good idea of what I'm doing. And I'm low and slow all night long, and I run to a certain temperature, and then I wrap it, and had a lot of luck with brisket this year. And then you got who we're talking about, and he gets that Weber to 4450, and then he throws that brisket on there and just flops it around like a fish, and I'm just sitting
there
going, you're ruining it. I mean, what are you doing? I never started crying the first time I saw him do that. And then he walked, and then I really started crying because I was like, okay, what did I miss? And, you know, I ain't tried it myself.
Yeah.
And I scalded the dog out of a brisket thinking, what am I, you know, the inside was was wonderful, but, you know, the outside was just charred. Char. I mean, I could have scraped it with a knife.
Taking a 16-pound brisket, probably 16 pounds. He's doing this at about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. He's throwing that damn thing in a fire on a Weber.
Yeah,
and, I mean, flips it with like a steak burner.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
And, I mean, it's flames are going everywhere, and we're standing over there. They're drinking coffee one morning. I'm standing there, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, what in the hell are you doing? And, I mean, it's just he'd let it sit on there for about 10 minutes, and he'd flip it over, and he'd let it char again. He'd flip it back over, and then he finally put it over on his smoker. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at that. But he's gotten to where now he's just leaving the thing on the Weber. Puts the lid on it, goes on about his business. And, like that. That was 13th in the Invitational. Out of 174 teams, he had a 13th in brisket there.
Hey, I want to throw something out there since we've got John and Lance together. I got a contact from a fellow that owns South Texan Barbecue, and I found out this week that he's got an injection, and I just wonder what y'all thought about it.
What is it now?
Talk Texan Barbecue. There's a fellow out of Texas making his own brisket injection. And I don't know if you know who he is or not. I'll look him up on the internet right quick and see if I can come up with his name. He took second place in the Royal. He took second place in the Royal cooking with another team.
Talk Texan.
And that was in the open. It wasn't in the invitational.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'd be lying to you if I knew who he was. I'd love to find out who he is.
He's got a honey rub, too. Well, he'll be on Chris Cavill's show.
You know what? I may know who you're talking about, actually, because, you know, I ran into some of them. We spent the night at a motel when we left the Royal, and there was a couple of them guys from South Texas, and one of them did really well, and he was cooking with someone else. I'm trying to think of the daggum thing, the name of them.
I just talked to him the other day. He sent me some of his injection, and I'm going to use it on the show Thursday, on the live show, you know, to back up Chris Chadwick's show, because he's going to call in on Chris's on Wednesday. And he was talking about somebody, you know, his honey rub was good enough that somebody stole it and reproduced it. And this guy's sort of been in the dark, you know, as far as his rubs and injections, but he's fixing to come out on Wednesday, and it's going to be a brand new person that competes with Butcher now. And his website is Talk Texas Barbecue. I can't think of his name, but if I knew his name, I'm sure y'all would. But now he's out of Texas. He's out of a whole different area than y'all.
Oh, yeah.
It's Philip something?
No, that's Talk Texan.
Oh, okay, that's the wrong one.
That's Talk Texan. That's Philip Lujan. And I know him, and if I was to bet, that's who he's referring to about the honey rub. If I was going to bet money, that's where I'd bet the money. Because there's about two people in the state of Texas that have a honey rub, and one of them is called Ritter's, and they've been around for a long time. A long time. And matter of fact, they've been very successful at the Royal, stuff like that. They're an old team. And then you have Philip Lujan, which is Talk Texan. And he just come out with a honey rub here just recently. And he's got some good rubs, too. I'll tell you that. I mean, Philip's got some really, really good stuff out there. I've had some of it, and I've played around with a little bit of it.
Did he cook at another with another team at the Royal?
Philip? Well, technically he did. The guy's name that he cooked with was a guy named Scott Brayman. But, like I said, Philip's brand is called Talk Texan. And I think he was on your top list of 100 rubs. Talk Texan was on there, I believe.
Yeah, I just put him on there this week.
Yeah. So he's a good guy. I've known him for a long time, and like I said, he's got some stuff out there. And there's some, there's some hot teams in Texas that they use his rub. You know. Like I said, I think Scott got a Scott walked at the Scott Brame. Walked at the Royal and something, I can't remember. It may have been ribs with his. No, actually, I think it was pork. He walked with that rub. And I think it was a honey rub.
That's the one. Talk Texan. That's him, man.
Yep. Both blue, hon.
Yep. And, well, I was really impressed with him. I was at the Royal at the Invitation. We shot the whole thing, and I just didn't have any idea who he was. And you know, one thing I don't understand, and I want everybody out there to hear this, is you go on the Internet, you look for all the injections that are out there, commercially available injections, it's almost impossible to find them. And it's funny, as I started that top 100 page, slowly but surely, one by one, we're starting to get them, and we're starting to get them on the list. There's a lot of injections out there. There's a lot of commercially available injections out there, but they don't have any Internet presence or any presence publicly.
No. I mean, I can tell you, as far as brisket injections, the ones I know of is Cosmo, Butcher's, Big Ron's Rubs. He's had a beef injection out there. And Philip Lujan has also had a brisket injection for a long time. Because I've played with his brisket injection a little bit. And to my knowledge, that was about it. So you have two of them out of Oklahoma and two of them out of Texas for a brisket injection that I know of that anybody knows about.
That Philip guy has also got a pork injection. And,
yes, he does.
He says he only makes it, you know, because he doesn't do KCBS that much, that when he goes to a KCBS, he'll get some made up. But I told him, you know, send me a bag of it. Let's put it on television, see how it stacks up. And one thing I liked what he said, Lance, and it's a lot like you, he's just honest as the day is long. He said, if you don't like it or you don't think it's good or there's problems with it, he said, I want you to get on the air and tell me because I got to fix it. And I was really impressed with that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's some really good teams. I mean, he teamed up with three Woodies, which is Sean Woody, which is also an Oak Ridge sponsored team. They've done real well together. They did Sand Flip Challenge, stuff like that. And then also there's another guy here in Texas named Bubba Garrett. And he's out of Wichita Falls. And he uses some Phillips stuff too, and he does. I don't know how many grands he won this year. He won several, in several reserves, and we were all up there at the Royal cooking together and stuff too. So he does have some good stuff out there, and I mean, he's done pretty well with it. I mean, I'll tell you that. I mean, there's a lot of guys. I mean, I'll tell you, especially where you see Talk Texan Rubs is in Lone Star. Sanctioned events because they all cook a lot of Lone Star stuff, and so there's a lot of them guys in Lone Star that's using that rub and some of those injections and stuff.
Well, I just hope they're getting a fair shake.
I think that they probably are on that end of it. And like I said, I mean, you know, he sent me some last year, and I mean, I won't deny it. I mean, I've been messing with his beef injection. He's got a good beef injection, you know, and I will say that. And,
well, Chris, what do you think about all these injections coming out of the woodworks?
Yeah, we're pretty much on the butcher's barbecue train, Daryl.
you primed up?
I started off with Cosmos, and then we migrated over to Butcher, and we've been pretty happy with it. And I tell you though, I've used their injection for pork, and I don't know, I'm just not getting the product that I like. I mean, I don't know what it is, if it's our cooking process, some of the rubs we're using, you know, so forth. I don't know, but we've kind of, to tell you the truth, probably for the first couple of months or first three, four contests, I'm gonna stay away from their injection on my butt using that. I mean, we're gonna eject, don't get me wrong, but I'm gonna stay away from the butcher. It just, I don't know what's happening, but it's just not what we're looking for, I don't think. So have you used
Cosmo's pork injection?
I'll be honest with you, Lance, it's been a while since I've used it, since we probably have gotten on a more set more set with our rubs and kind of our process and timeline. So you know, like I said, with the butcher, I don't know. I'm just not getting the product that I'm wanting. Or, you know, we cook a lot of SCBA and SBN, and you know, say for you guys in Texas, where brisket's the big deal in those events. I mean, butts is the big deal, and guys are, you know, they're really dialed into that. And then, don't get me wrong, we've done pretty good. We're just not where I want to be. Like, well, ribs, which is all pretty much our go-to, we really got that one dialed in, I think. But we're just on the butts. We're hitting a lot of top tens, and even some top fives. But it's not where I want it. So we're gonna change something. We're just gonna go back to kind of my injection I have been using, and not add the butcher in there. So I kind of messed around with it.
You didn't like about the cosmos that made you go to butchers?
Well, I just kind of made the change to, you know, to try the butcher product, quite honestly, just as a whole. And you know what? Strange enough, so you just said I ain't thought about going back to the cosmos. I think I've actually got a little bit left here that I should try. What I was finding, I don't know the exact how to describe it, but it seems like we're just getting a little. The texture and all of our pork just wasn't right for when we're pulling it and getting the tubes and all. It just not the right texture I was looking for. So I don't know, you know, with the injection we use. I mean, I've kind of talked to some people about it on and off. I don't know if in these actual injections, do you need to alter how much salt you're putting in there, or maybe so it's almost like you double up on something. You know, your own injection you're using. I mean, because we're doing other stuff obviously than just the, you know, just the mix, the powder. So I don't know if it's something else.
You're saying it's a texture thing?
No, I'm saying my texture. The texture of the meat. Yeah.
Yes. See, to me, that's in the phosphate, and you got to be real careful. And I mean, they're all running phosphates in them.
Yep.
I've had that experience even in chicken. You got to be careful on how much phosphate, you know, and there's other products. If you're mixing other products up like that, and that's what I got into too, is that if you get too far in there, you get too much phosphate in there, it seems it almost kind of gives it a mushiness. Is that?
Yep.
You know,
you just hit the nail on the head. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. That's really, to me, what I found is that's in the phosphate part of it. And you know, I went to tweaking things like that because when I first started competing, even in chicken and stuff like that, I was using phosphates pretty heavily. And phosphates play a key role in a lot of it for moisture retention and stuff like that. But if you inject and you let it sit too long, you know, kind of in your priming process or whatever, then you get into that situation, and that's why I was using it in a brining situation, and I was letting it sit in there too long, and I mean, literally, I mean, the breast would just be kind of mushy, and I was like,
man, that
is not good at all, and, you know, I learned to alter my times on it, and that changed it, made a whole difference. Now, injection, I mean, so, you know, you're probably going to use less of it, so it's not breaking it down as much.
Right.
But that's what I have found. I mean, when I get into that situation there, and then, like I said, I've experienced it with what you're saying, is that right there is, to me, it's more of a phosphate thing. You know, the salts and the sugars and stuff like that, I mean, you know, absolutely. I mean, the salts, you get too much in it, then you get a real salty texture-ness. But I don't really notice the mushiness in the salt. You just get a... You know, you just get a lot of salt in it. And, of course, you know, pork will soak up a lot of salt. But,
oh, yeah.
Phosphates. And like I said, I mean, Cosmo and Butchers, they both run them. I run in pork, I run Cosmos. And I've had really good luck in pork with his. Now, Phillip's got some stuff out there, too. And, I mean, he's really pushed it on me. And I hadn't had time to, feel like just what you said, we don't cook a lot of pork out this way, and so I hadn't had time. He gave me some at the Royal to use, and I hadn't done it, and I need to actually throw some butts on and see what it's doing. But all my success this year in the last year or so, especially in buses, then was Cosmo more than the butcher thing. Now in brisket, I've used both, and I pretty much had the same result. I mean, to be honest with you, as far as injection wise, as far as is brisket injection, they've been about the same. I've had calls both ways.
Hey, we got Chris Chadwick on the line. What's going on, Chris?
What is going on tonight, guys? I've been listening all about these briskets and phosphate. Man, this is an in-depth conversation tonight. How's it going?
Well, you're the king on this, so you need to just chime in here.
Shit, I ain't the king. I don't know anything about all that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, mercy.
But you can tell a few secrets, buddy. I mean,
I'm like that old dog. He just sits there listening, and he don't know what to say. He don't know what to do. He just sits there and listens.
Yeah, cause he's already got the answer, boys. That's the whole deal. He's not gonna turn loose.
Shit. You know, I'm gonna be honest. I make my own injection, and
see, here we go.
You know, I don't have that outlet. I don't have barbecue stores around, and I don't get to order that many things off the Internet like I should. And, you know, I just kind of usually just have to mix a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And by the time it's over, it turns out pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So what do you use to inject, like salt and sugar? I mean, more that type of a type of injection?
Well, you know, a good all-around injection, you know, is, and this right here is just straight from the old horse's mouth, a cup of sugar, a cup of salt, and a gallon of water. But I always like that.
Yep.
I always, you know, that works good on anything. I mean, that works good on anything, and it leaves, and you don't have your problem with your texture as well as you do some of these rubs and some of these other bouillons and bases that I've tried to use in the past. I tell you what's got a good flavor, but it seems to make the meat tough, and I've got away from it quite a bit. There's a ham bouillon in the grocery store. It's ham bouillon.
Yeah.
And it makes a wonderful injection. But I just feel like it toughens that pork up a little bit, and I've kind of strayed away from that. So I go with a little different approach to my pork. Now, chicken and beef, and I tell you what, you can just rock it out with a few of the, just go down the grocery store aisle, down the spice aisle, down the bouillon aisle, and you can come up with a killer injection in a matter of minutes that will knock your socks off, especially if you're used to making some. If you're used to using something and you're out and you don't know what you're going to do, that's what you got to do. So that's what I've kind of,
well, I know Curd Light works pretty well in a lot of that stuff, too. I've decided about that, too. So.
Well, Chris,
welcome to Monday night.
Yeah, welcome here to Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting broke in right tonight. You got, well, who you got in the house tonight? You got John, you got Lance, you got Big D, and Here I come in. You ain't got a prayer tonight. Can't get a word in edgewise, can you?
Allie, what are you talking now?
I know. What's up?
Gunshy.
Well, there's no need being gun-shy. Welcome to Monday night.
Monday night, Nitro on Barbecue Superstar.
Now, was that Lori that was in there a little bit ago, too?
Yeah, she's still there. Lori Freeze.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, Chris. I'm just trying to figure out, so you guys want to try some of the Sweet Smoke Q juice? Because I'll get you some for pork.
Well, I tried it one time, and I am ready to try it again because, like I said, Zach and Jay, Pitmaster Depot sent me some.
Oh, he did. They did.
Yeah, and I wasted it on some family and stuff.
Oh, well, and see, you know, Jim's one of my sponsors, and we started injecting ribs, and they're coming out just amazing.
Really?
And he already said it on air. I about killed him because, you know, we were playing with some of that stuff, and he said, well, I injected my ribs. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, you know, it's kind of out there. It really does good, but we wait and inject in the morning rather than inject because of it turning it a little mealy because of the thinness of it. You know, it's not
right.
a heavy piece of meat. So I'll inject my butts at night, but I don't inject the ribs till the following morning.
Right.
Yeah, and
they
come out amazing.
I've injected ribs one time, and, you know, it was something I was playing with a little bit too because I know there are some good teams out there that do inject. And just what you said, they'll inject them in that morning before they put them on. And they've had some success doing it. But, yeah, I definitely would love to try some more of that. So
there's no – there's you know, you're adding moisture to the rib, and, I mean, as thin as it is, and they're easy to dry out. Even though you're cooking them slow and you're spraying them and you're watching them and you're wrapping them early. But that injection, I mean, that's the way to do it. I use Dan's Chop Power Injector. And I'll take out a needle. Sometimes I can place that those four needles right in between four bones
right.
and inject, and I'll inject all four, you know, at a time.
Yep.
And
I may have told you this, Chadwick. I actually injected an apple ale. I'm trying to think of the brand name of it. It was actually a beer. I injected into it with. Wood stand injector, and we had a good call on ribs that day, and, you know, it was just something I played around with, but, you know, just what you said, the moisture retention was unbelievable, how much more moisture it kept in the rib, and I didn't notice so much as far as a flavor profile with that part of it, but I did notice the moisture.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Let me break in for just a minute, but we've got all six radio hosts from the Barbecue Superstars Radio Network on the air right now. And Barn Goddess, X Nation, Lance Moore, Let the Smoke Roll, and Chris Palmer, Ultimate Tailgater, BBQ, and I just want to give a big old hell yeah. Look at there. And it sure is good to have everybody on the air one time.
That is pretty cool, isn't it?
It is.
Hey, it was fun calling you on New Year's and having Lance call in, too. That was a hoot.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I'm sorry, Lori, but we talked about you last night, too.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah,
it's
we
all
did.
Good. It's all good.
Me and Angela and I did talk about you last night. I'm sorry.
Well, it's
all
good.
What about the Jell-O shots? What about the Jell-O shots?
Let me tell you.
I didn't hear anything about Jell-O shots, but I did hear about a trip to getting pizza last night.
Oh, God.
Listen, Lance, listen about the Jell-O here. Listen.
Well, first we have to tell you that if you win Grand Championship in the Florida Barbecue Association, it is unlucky if you don't continue the tradition of buying pizza for everybody. And we must have drove 25 miles to get pizza. So, and it wasn't pretty, let me just say that. But the Jell-O shots, normally I bring apple pie moonshine to share, and I decided I was going to make moonshine Jell-O shots. Oh, my God. I didn't really have that well thought out, but people were still enjoying them. So the guy who took Grand Champion, which is Jim Elzer, Sweet Smoke Q, one of my sponsors, anyway, he he probably had like, I don't know, 8 or 10 of them during the cook's meeting. So, and he won. So we have decided that that's my new thing. I have to start bringing moonshine Jell-O shots.
Yeah,
there you go. I heard you were a Miss Moonshine.
I am.
You know, Angela told me that last night too.
Yep.
You were Miss Moonshine.
I am. My dad's an old time moonshiner.
I can attest to that.
Oh yes, you can. Now see, but it's smooth, isn't it, Daryl? It goes down really nice.
Well, I mean, it's like you drink it and you think, well, there's nothing to it, and then about 20 minutes, oh, hell.
Kind of slow gin, huh? kind of that slow screw.
Hey, I don't know. Yeah, you've enjoyed several apple pies along the way, haven't you?
Oh,
there
my
you
goodness.
Go. It's good.
That's dangerous
it
stuff.
Good.
That sounds like very dangerous stuff.
It's very smooth, and, you know, I joke that my plan with the FBA is to you know, wait for the power to go down because I can run all my cookers without power and do it that way. So, you know.
There you go.
I just about every night anyway, and I heard you guys talking about assassins. I actually cook on a big assassin, so, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Damn thing weighs too much, though.
Well, don't feel bad. I have a freak cock fit on the back of mine.
Do
that
you?
That thing weighs 1,800 pounds.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Y'all will know if the plant's coming in the highway because his headlights are just shining towards the moon.
Oh.
He's plotting acid things is what he's doing.
Yeah, my new rig weighs 9,000 pounds.
Like
all 25 foot of it.
Wow.
So, all I got to say is you don't want to. I'll be the guy that hits the brakes real quick and light because I'll probably come all the way through you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and people are stupid out there driving around us.
Yes, they are.
Let's give Chris a chance to talk. This is his radio show. What's going
good,
on,
man? Down there? Sorry, man. I've been bouncing in and out coming back from probably just passed some places that made some moonshine actually here, but coming back to my house. You know, apple pie is a big thing for our tailgate grill. We have a lot of apple pie on our tailgate Saturday.
Yeah.
So, as well as that's a little ritual my wife and I started. We got a little run going this year and won 5 grand champions. And so that's our new deal now. When we get to do we start our turn in, we take a shot of wild turkey, American honey, and we take a shot of moonshine, and then we do our turn in boxes. So that's our little ritual.
Ooh.
We got a little music montage we play to try to get our heads right to build these boxes. So and then after last turn in, then we really open up the apple pie. So
wow.
I got a buddy that's a good supplier of that. So
all
yeah.
Right.
There you go. See, I have a teammate that makes it. So my brother-in-law makes it. I got a whole quart of it sitting right here in the refrigerator. Hadn't even capped yet. It's about a month old now.
Well, that's wrong.
Wait,
you have to do something about that.
Well, I'm waiting for the first contest to bust it open, and
man,
that's probably going to be in 2 weeks.
It goes bad. You better drink it tonight. It goes bad.
Man. Thanks, Chadwick. I appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah, drink that.
Well,
now,
Barn got you beat because she makes it by the half a gallon.
Yeah, I bring a half gallon and I don't make it to the other side of the camp before it's gone.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, you guys what have 40, 50 teams?
Have what?
Like 40, 50 teams in y'all's contests? Is that correct?
Well, this weekend we had, I think it was 49, but we have some huge contests too.
Well, that's good. See, I mean, that's why we're, I mean, you know, 80, 100, 150.
Yeah.
You know, we probably wouldn't make it a quarter away with your stuff.
Yeah. I don't get very far, and every once in a while a jug will get hijacked. But everybody's really good about getting me back the jugs because they want me to bring them again. But I think this weekend, since I get to go, I'm gonna do up some more Jell-O shots.
Hey, there you go. Well, you know, Angela said that she wanted to come out to Texas, so you ought to come out too, and you might just, you know, we'll team up and we'll just hit the circuit a little bit over here in Texas and see how it goes.
Hey, let me tell you, I would love to cook another area. You know, these guys here, it's definitely one of the tough areas in the U.S., but I love cooking with, you know, against the boys. It's good education.
Hey, there you go. Well, you know, that's what Zach keeps telling me. He said, man, he said, just fly down here, dude. He said, I'll fix you up. And he said, come down here and cook FBA. And I'm like, yeah.
Well, anytime,
a whole other world.
Yeah, anytime any of you guys ever want to come down and cook, you know, you're welcome to come and cook with me.
Where are you at, Lori?
I'm just out. I'm in a triangle between Gainesville and Ocala.
Now, I'm not familiar with Florida other than Panama City and Destin. You know, I don't go any further.
Yeah, well, I'm like in the central part of the state to the west side. I'm pretty close to the water. I mean, we have to go kind of far, but I'm north.
You're going to experience so much, Edwick.
Well, I was just curious. You know, I might have to go to Florida here before long, and I might need some help. I might need some pits. Who knows? I don't know. I just don't even know yet. I'm it's all in the works.
Now, Lori, now you went on a cruise and you had to go to Tampa, didn't you?
Well, we actually this last cruise we went out of Canaveral, but I prefer to go out of Tampa. It's easier.
That's how far from where you at?
It's 2 hours.
2 hours. That's not bad.
Nope.
That's
it's an easy drive.
Mm-hmm. We went on a cruise one time from Galveston, and we went to Key West.
Nice.
Hung out down there in the old Buffett area. And we had a lot of good time down in that part of the world.
You were
yep.
a cowboy at yep. Lance.
Yeah.
Damn right I did.
So we actually
took everything all the way to the Caymans and everything else. They seen a Texan.
You'd have been shit out of luck. You'd have been SOL if that blown off that cruise ship.
No, they've been turning that boat around. We've been going and getting it.
Yeah, they'd have been going man overboard.
Actually, let me tell you something. Here's my thing about that. Was actually the
that, baby,
captain
you?
Of the boat wore a black Stetson the whole time we were on the ship.
Really?
Really?
Yep.
Was he high?
I don't know about that. But
he just wanted to be a cowboy.
I knew I was in good hands when he had a black hat on. I knew we were in good hands.
That's funny.
And,
he wanted to be a cowboy.
Yeah, he had a damn big boat. Second largest ship we were on Royal Caribbean. At the time, it was the second. They just had built their brand new one, but we were on the second largest ship in the world. That thing was huge, and we spent 7 days on that thing, and it was pretty unbelievable.
Nice.
You know, matter of fact, that was back when the Peterson thing was going on. You know, over in California, where the old boy,
yeah,
you know, took his wife out there and dumped her off in the middle of the hill. And I said, you know, I made a comment. I'm not kidding you. I made a comment about it on the boat. My wife and I were standing out on the deck, and I said, you know, I said, I don't know how deep it is here, but, you know, if you were going to get rid of your wife or something, this place would be the place to do it out here in the Gulf.
Oh,
I'm not kidding
you.
A few minutes later,
too,
the captain come on. They said, you know, he said, by the way, if anybody'd like to know, we're about 10,000 feet deep here. I'm like, well, yeah, this is a place to get rid of somebody.
10,000
feet deep.
Holy
and I was like, you know, don't be jacking around, you know, out there in the bay and stuff, dumping people. Put them out here, they'll never come back.
I don't think I want to take a barbecue superstar cruise in the near future.
No,
you're all good.
I thought Lance was going to say a ghost came up or something.
I don't know. There wasn't no ghost. So, but no, I mean, you know, you think about those things. I mean, people are stupid. I mean, if they're going to do something and get rid of somebody, I mean, don't take them out in the bay where they're going to come back in the tide. Eventually show up. I mean, come on now.
But Lance, you realize all these shows are recorded, and everything you're saying right now is being recorded. So your wife and
yeah, I'm going to lie pretty good. I mean, you know, in West Texas, we don't have that a whole lot now, do we?
Yeah. You notice me and Chad?
Do you love your wife?
Really, really quiet right now.
My wife will not see any of it, anyways. Hell, I said it to her. She knew it. So.
Oh, my.
I'll tell you that, too. I mean, that same cruise.
Last ain't playing. I mean, he means what he says.
Yeah. You're damn right. I mean, what I say. I mean,
you know,
but I mean,
you know
that's it. I mean,
do.
You know, be serious about it. I mean, if you're going
to
do something, do it.
y'all ask Lance, what, how does it feel? What's it feel like to smash a beer can on somebody's head?
Yeah,
I
smash beer can on people.
Let me tell this story. Yeah, let's hear this.
This story. Oh, you dogs. I can't believe you asked me this. Hey, it was one of your friends. It was a Dick's Hat Band.
Yeah,
they're a good band. I'll give you that. They are a good band. We had a good time. I guess it was the lead singer. Is that correct?
In my pit John? Area.
Huh?
In my pit area.
So, you know, we're standing there. We're talking. Chadwick's over there. John's over there. He's pissed off at Cole at the time, so he's, like, beating the hell out of his ribs. And, you know, we're having this conversation, and this guy, Adam, he's like, you know, hey, you know, no one's ever smashed a beer can on my head. And, you know, we're just kind of sitting there talking. And about the third time the guy asked, you know, said something about it, I was like, my beer can was empty. And I looked at him and was like, well, what the hell? He wants to know what a beer can feels like upside the head. I'll just show him. And so I granted the wish. I smashed the beer can on his head. And all he did was look at him. He's like, wow. You know, that's all he said was like, wow. I was like, well, there you go. You know what it feels like now, buddy.
I mean, we're all sitting around and we're all just, our jaws dropped because we're like, wait, I know we've, did that just happen? I mean, did that really just happen? And Lance, you know, sitting there like, well, I guess now you know. You know, and I'm thinking the guy's fixing to fall over or, you know. No, it looked like he had a skull can on his forehead the rest of the night.
Oh, my God.
Don't ask me to do something because I probably will do it. You know,
I went
on a Segway that night, too. I went cruising on that thing, you know. First time to do that, too. That's kind of an interesting little trip, too.
They had the concert, and I had to go check on my pit, so I jumped on a golf cart with a guy, and we got pulled over. And it looked like as soon as the golf cart stopped, I jetted. I took off like white boy ain't ever run before. And I'm thinking, I am not going to jail. And at a cook-off, and we flew Chadwick in, and one of my biggest sponsors is parked next to us this weekend. I am not, no, I'm out. See ya. And I jetted. And you know what? You know why they pulled us over? A beer can fell out of the golf cart, and they got him for littering.
$200. He's still not happy with you about that.
Yeah.
The event organizer's husband.
Yeah, I'm talking about that. Yeah, event organizer.
Oh, my God.
But I'd already started my briskets and stuff, and I thought, well, I better go check my briskets. And he wanted to go get some more beer, so I thought, well, let's go from the golf cart go. I'm serious. I mean, you're at the lake cooking, and, you know, I mean, there's how many teams were there?
62.
Okay. And they're having a hell of a concert going on over there, and I'm thinking, you know, Chadwick's on the front row like Lynyrd Skynyrd Freebird. I mean, he's just almost pulling a shirt over his head.
I had a thing with Chadwick a little while.
And so I thought,
Chadwick, we were hanging out up there.
Yeah.
That's right. We were.
Front
having a good time.
And I'm like, well, I'll just go check, you know, my temps and stuff and just make sure everything's running smooth. And you want to talk about a sobering moment. Be on a golf cart on a path and see a reflection of red and blues behind you. I mean, that's a
and John with a hammer down on that golf cart on two wheels taking a curve.
Y'all seen any of my Facebook, you know I'm not exactly skinny. And I've told y'all from day one, if you see me running, you might ought to be running into something chasing my ass. And I jumped off that golf cart, and I was history. I was gone.
Well, let me tell you this, too. You don't want Reeves driving the golf cart either, because Reeves will slam on the damn brakes. And when you're sitting on the back of the golf cart, the guy that's right behind you, you can shake his hand through the windshield.
Holy camoly.
Because I witnessed that, because I shook the guy's hand right behind me. And I thought, hell, they're coming in.
Now I want to ask you a question. I want to ask God.
What you gonna do, brother, when you go to Texas to the barbecue cook off?
What you gonna do?
I'm telling you, you won't never forget it. You'll have a hell of a time, that's for sure.
Well, let me ask y'all this. Have you noticed that Chris Chadwick's got this one picture of some glasses, and I think he's working on some chicken. And I believe he took that picture down there at the Texas contest, and that thing's on everything now. That's like his main picture. What was you doing when you had them glasses on? What was you doing there, Chris?
Oh, I was just posing. I was having, you know, I'm so photogenic in front of that camera. I was tracking a pose. You know, I wanted to make sure I had it right. My hair was kind of messed up. Next time I need to work on that a little bit. Tracking a pose, working that chicken.
Hey, and that's when you
was
up.
We were sweating our asses off is what we were doing. It was hot.
Yeah, it was hot.
Yep. Yeah, you boys didn't come taste it. You want to kind of hang out and see how it is. I mean, we'll damn sure show you a good time.
Sounds
you may
like
get a brick can upside the head. Hell, you may get a lottery ticket. You just never know what might happen to you, but hell, we'll bring you home safe.
Sounds like a plan.
Listen, who's telling you that, Lori? It's Lance telling you that.
Yeah. Now, I will promise you this. If you come up here in Texas and see Lance and I, you will see two of the baddest pits and rigs you've ever seen in your life. And we've, had a hell of a time putting our rig together and getting everything like we wanted. But I tell you what, you come hang out with us and you get to see Junior it's a time you won't forget. Now, we take it serious, and when it's go time, it's go time. You know, but when we get to play a little bit, that's when you got to watch out, and that's when things get a little bit hairy.
But we have
a lot of fun.
I can hang.
Let's do it.
I bet you can.
I think that all sounds like a plan. I keep telling Daryl we need to have, like, a convention at some point so we can, you know, make some other plans and all of us get a chance to get together.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. If we had a convention, I was thinking about that tonight. Look at what a good time we'd have. And
oh, yeah.
You get Lance and John and Chris Bomer all together and everybody. They'll have a good time. And we're about out of time, and I want to let Chris Chadwick take us out. And this is the Ultimate Tailgater BBQ Show. This is the inaugural night, the Monday night, the keynote night of our week. And here is the Ultimate Tailgater BBQ.
Damn, I'm going to high top all this, Dale. I'll be honest with you. You got a good cast of character tonight. Hey, Dale, I'll get you to shut it down. I'm actually just getting that to the house here for my appointment driving. So, but I appreciate all these fine folks being on this, with us tonight and helping kick things off. And look forward to continuing doing the Monday night. And I'm going to kind of over my New Year thing, try to call in to everybody else's shows. And I know I've called in with Chadwick a couple times. And my buddy Lance here a couple times. In fact, I called Lance, I think, come back from Vegas there a couple months ago and chat with him while on the show. But look forward to calling everybody's show and kind of help support everybody. And just want to thank everybody again for coming on tonight and having some fun. And the main thing is, like we talked about, just having a good fellowship and talking about barbecue and talking about what we love. So, Daryl, carry us on out here because I'm not signed in on the laptop there. But thanks a lot, everyone, for helping us kick it off. And everybody have a great week. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Oh, God, I forgot to load up Gamecock. I did your intro, but I forgot to exit. But we'll have Go Cox on next week. So we'll take it out with this song here. And from Ultimate Tailgater BBQ. Now, folks, he is actually the number one tailgater in the world. He's won more contests in tailgating and barbecue than any other tailgate and barbecue person in history. As far as tailgate competitions, he's won a world championship. He's won a national championship in tailgating. He's done a lot of tailgating comps, and he's won quite a few barbecue competitions also, which is a great combination. Tune in every Monday night, 7 p.m. right here. And the number to call is 347-202-0263. Ultimate Tailgaters BBQ from Chris Chadwick, Lance Moore, John Reeves, Laurie Frazee, and the ultimate tailgater himself, Chris Fulmer. We wish you all a good night, and come back next week. And tomorrow night, we'll have Laurie Frazee, Barn Goddess, on live at 7 p.m. on the Barbecue Superstars Radio Network.
Yeah, we'll try to tune into that one and hijack it.
This has been the Ultimate Tailgated BBQ on the Barbecue Superstars Radio Network.